Now, before we get into the message, I want to ask my lovely wife, Lynn, to come and read the passages that we're looking at today. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. I've put in an extra passage, which I think is relevant and really important, and you'll see why further on. And then the third passage is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 20. So thank you, dear.
First reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos. Or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. Chapter 12, verse 14 to 20. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, does that not make it any less part of the body? And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body.
Thank you, dear. May God add a blessing that's special to us through the reading of his word. So, it's a little bit like getting thrown under a bus to try and talk about unity in our current environment, don't you think? And I wanted to start by asking you some questions, because as we've come back, I look around me and I think we have some very super intelligent Christians here at Church on Vogel. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever felt dissatisfied or annoyed with some of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, or even with the elders, or maybe something that is going on in COV over the last few years? Have you ever felt dissatisfied or annoyed with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ, or even the elders, or even something that was going on at Church on Vogel over the last few years that you didn't particularly agree with? No, I wasn't going to go there. No, thanks, Phil. That's out of us all now. Yeah, pretty much. Bless you, brother. Bless you. That was just the right point for the right time. I can remember when I was a young college boy, I got really annoyed, particularly in a small assembly that I was part of as a young fella growing up as a young Christian. I particularly would get annoyed at the fact that the senior brethren would not allow us to do any tasks at all around our local church. And it would irritate the living daylights out of me that they wouldn't give us a shot at doing just simple things that would help in the administration of our small church family at that time. And interestingly, eventually over time, all of us actually left. I can also remember in my young adult days in a number of local assemblies, because I was brought up in the Open Brethren Assemblies historically because of my parents being very strongly Open Brethren associated. And I can remember in those days as a young adult growing up that I would become particularly irritated with what I thought were not necessarily the right way to be running the assembly at that particular time. I also had a particularly good strategy of making sure that my favourite elders were the ones that I approached because I knew that I was more likely to gain approval from them rather than the elders that I didn't particularly like. So that's my confessions on my lack of unity. So we've got it out of the way, and now we can move on with looking at what Scripture says. So other than Phil trying to out us all with a show of hands, you are all able to just keep your thoughts to yourself as we go through the Word of God this morning. And you're allowed to hide what you're thinking or what you're feeling, particularly about situations or individuals that you've got crossed with over time. And I think that's the way it should be this morning. Because what my heart is this morning is that the Word of God will speak strongly to all of us as we read it and as we go through it. So how I want to handle this morning is I want to look at some definitions of unity, okay? So I want to start there to look at how we define what unity is. That will start us off. And then I want to look at the key passages that we've read, and I've added in Philippians 2 to that because I believe that's a really key passage. And what I want to do is to simply and practically unpack those passages so that we all understand them. And then I want to identify two barriers to unity at Church on Vogel. Two barriers to unity at Church on Vogel. And then I want to finish by giving each of us, and as you get used to me, if I ever get the opportunity to preach again, you will understand that I'm a very exhortative. So I like to encourage us to go home and work on what we've thought about from God's word. So we'll have a take-home message and a work-on today. So yes, you've got homework, okay? Yes, you've got homework. So let's get into the definitions. So as we look at the definition, we see, are they up there? Yes, they are. They're coming. So we look at the quality or state of being one. That makes a lot of sense. The state of those who are in full agreement or harmony. And that's come from the internet from Merriam-Webster.com. We've got 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. We've read that this morning. Another definition is the state of oneness, a way in which diverse parts combine so that they belong and work together harmoniously. So you can see from all of these different definitions, there's some key words come out. Being one, in agreement of one mind, united in thought and purpose, state of oneness, diverse parts combining and working together. So these are the definitions of unity. So the key passages that we have this morning, 1 Corinthians 1 and then on to 1 Corinthians 12, what I've called them is, firstly, 1 Corinthians 1 is the blueprint for unity. Secondly, I've called 1 Corinthians 12, the body needs to be in harmony. And finally, with 1 Peter 5:8 and with Philippians 2, 1 to 5 in reverse, and you'll understand what I mean by that, Philippians 2, 1 to 5 in reverse, we have the barriers to unity. So that's our thinking this morning. So the blueprint for unity, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. So if you've got your Bibles, if you've got your device there with the YouVersion, please refer to it in front of you. So here Paul is giving advice on specific problems and questions that had arisen in the church at Corinth. And in this passage, Paul is specifically addressing the issue of competing factions within the church. So I think one of the key verses here in 1 Corinthians 1 in our passage is rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. In other words, live in harmony with each other. So harmony equals an agreement between people or groups. And if we look at Philippians 2, verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Now, can you, just as we sit here thinking about that, can you sense the power of being truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, okay? Loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Can you sense the power of that in terms of our church family being of one mind and one purpose around taking the gospel to our community to make disciples for Jesus and then welcoming them into our church family? I think there's a huge power in that verse. And I sense that being of one mind and united in thought and purpose, this is something that has permeated into my soul as I've read and prepared this, that when we look at being of one mind and united in thought and purpose, man, that is so cool. When you get your head around all of us loving one another and being of the same mind and focused on the same purpose and the same goal. Now, seriously, even although including me, we're a bit of a motley crew, right? We come from all sorts of different places, different countries, different persuasions, different thoughts, different thinking. But when you wrap your head around the power of being united in thought and purpose, the world is our oyster. Amen? Amen. It is so huge that we would put away all the things that we disagreed on and we were united and we were of one mind and one purpose. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, we have all sorts of analogies like the All Black team and all of that. They're all just worldly examples. But when you think about the incredible way that God has created the local church, I just see in that such power. If there were no disagreements, we were loving one another and we were united in thought and purpose. Can you grasp what I'm trying to share with you? You get it? And then if we look at Philippians, and Paul's talking to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2:2, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Tony Martin mentioned Acts 4:32 a couple of weeks ago when he looked at the birth, the build and the bond of the local church. And Acts 4:32 says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. And Tony's point was that everything that they had, they didn't regard as being their own. They wanted to share it because they were united in heart and mind. And look at the power of the local church in Acts and what it accomplished. That is truly amazing. And 1 Peter 3 verse 8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. So our passage then moves on and says, let there be no divisions, no divisiveness, no arguments, no disagreements. Well, I don't know about your family, but that would be miraculous in ours. There are always arguments and disagreements and different opinions. And that's healthy. That's healthy and it's good until it becomes seriously bad. No divisions, no arguments, no disagreements, no personal agendas, no loyalty to certain leaders. As we were driving here, I said to Lynn, I can seriously remember when I was younger, as a younger adult growing up in our assemblies, that I did have my favourite elders. And I kind of manipulated so that I would approach them when I wanted stuff to get agreed on. And I'd ignore the other ones. So I said to her, I truly have to confess that I did have my favourite elders. And what Paul's talking about here in terms of no divisions is no pushing, I've got to have my way or I'll leave. Paul's talking about If I don't get my way, I'll stop giving. That's always the trump card that we try and play in order to get, sometimes, to get our own ways. My thought in that is that if we bring that right up today, it's kind of like going, I'm a backer of Andrew Mitchell. No. I'm a backer of Tasa Harvia. No. I prefer Nevin Bugis. Well, you're all wrong. I actually prefer Jesus Christ, so I can take the moral high ground. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not about having a favourites. And you can try and deny as much as you like, but I'm sure all of us are guilty at some time or another of having our favourite elders. Watch out, guys. You're going to be getting all sorts of good stuff from now on, like chocolates and apples and things. That's not what it's about. What it's about is our mission, which is to know Christ and to make him known. It's about living the gospel and demonstrating it in every aspect of our lives. And then our passage says, has Jesus divided us into factions? No, he hasn't. It's about harmony. It's about truly being of one mind and purpose, loving one another. It's about no divisions, no arguments, no disagreements, no personal agendas, no particular loyalty to certain leaders. It's rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Let's move on to the second passage, Philippians 2:1-5. So we've seen our blueprint for unity, and now we're looking at what we've called further part of the blueprint for unity. So in Philippians 2:1-5, follow with me. He's talking about really clearly saying, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. The bottom line, at the end of the passage, is you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Yes? The same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So my question again is, do you think this would work for our solution at Church on Vogel for unity? I think it would. I think it would. In fact, I'd go as far as to say, I'm confident that it definitely would work. Let's go through it step by step. Agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Putting my personal opinions aside and agreeing wholeheartedly with one another. Loving one another. Not just love, but really loving one another. Caring for each other. Going the extra mile. Working together with one mind and purpose. Here it comes again. Not being selfish. Not pushing my way. Not trying to impress others. Do we really try and impress others? Do we? Being humble. I can remember that little ditty that I sort of whistle from time to time. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Yes, Lord, I'm humble. Yeah, I'm humble. I'm humble. When you get behind all the perfect, it's not so perfect after all, is it? Thinking of others better than ourselves. Not looking out for my own interest, but in the interest of others. Those meetings that we come to where we're potentially pushing our agenda or we're wanting to get our interests heard over the interests of others. And then the beautiful part at the end is being like Christ Jesus. That just kind of flattens all of us to ask ourselves, am I really demonstrating in my life together with my Christian brothers and sisters at church on Vogel? Am I really demonstrating the attitude of Christ? So this, dear friends and church family, is what I would call the blueprint for unity. And then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 to 20. Follow with me in your Bibles or in on your device. The body needs to be in harmony. Now, this is a pearler to get lost, and I'm going to try and make it as simple as I can, but it is the simplest way to explain it is that Paul is talking about how the human body with different parts, ears, eyes, legs and arms, demonstrates the local church. That's us, okay? So how does the human body act as an example about the local church? So the different parts, we need to regard ourselves as the different parts of the body of Christ. So Paul says a physical body has many different parts. The parts refer to us as Christians that make up the body of Christ, which is the local church. Think about it. We're all from different places. We all live in different suburbs. We all think differently. We've got different favourites. We've got different preferences. We are just all different. But we all make a unique contribution to the body here at Church on Vogel. And our different gifts and abilities all contribute to the effectiveness of God's work in this place. Isn't that powerful? Is that powerful? It is huge. And when you think about it, it is such a massively simple concept, but is so powerful. Using all the different gifts and abilities of every single person here to further the work of the gospel in our community, our city, our region, our country, and the world. It is huge. It's almost so simple that it's unbelievable. So here's an example. I've tried to do an example. Is Terry here this morning? Terry Smith? Oh, praise the Lord. Right. Okay. So she doesn't need to hear about this, okay? Mum's the word. All right. So to try and explain it simply so we understood it, if, say, a musician like Terry says, I'm not really part of COV anymore because I'm not a Bible class teacher, because she thinks Bible class teachers might be. This is all an example. It's not true, okay? Just an example. So the point is that Terry is no less part of Church on Vogel by saying that she's not a Bible class teacher. Even although she's not a Bible class teacher, she's an amazing musician. Terry is still very much appreciated and needed as one of the musicians here on the worship team here at Church on Vogel because she's part of the team. So even if she says that she's not part of Church on Vogel because she's not a Bible class teacher, she's still part of Church on Vogel, part of our body, part of our family. On the other hand, Paul says, imagine, and here's my example, imagine if everybody at Church on Vogel was a musician. That's not going to work either, because the church family needs more than just musicians to be able to do the various ministries like the children and youth work, playgroup, counselling, maintenance, preaching and teaching, community work, etc., etc. So Church on Vogel wouldn't work if all of us were musicians, right? So are you kind of understanding what I'm saying? You getting it? I've got a few nods. Everybody else is going, all right, here's another example, because I knew that by this stage you'd be a bit lost and you'd be rolling your eyes a little bit, all right? I can remember when I was about 8 or 9, I had a big argument with my mum and dad. And I can recall telling mum and dad that I was going to run away to some other family that really loved me and would listen to me and look after me. My dad, Tom Wilson, who's still alive, he's living over in the UK with his second wife. He was a school headmaster and from Scotland. And I can remember his words to this day Like I'm nearly 63. I can remember his words as if it was spoken right now. And he said this. If you want to run away, go for your life. But you came into this world with nothing on, and you're going to leave this house with nothing on. So apart from the massive dilemma that that caused in my mind because it was winter, my point is that even although I didn't want to be part of the Wilson family at that particular time in my life, I still was by birth, okay? So I was still a Wilson, even although I didn't want to be, okay? And that's the point that Paul's trying to make to the church at Philippi. He's trying to say, even although you don't want to be part of the church, you're still part of the body of Christ. You are. And you're an absolutely key member. And the whole point about if we were all musicians, and don't run me out of town, okay? I love musicians. It's making the example. But the whole point is in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? What did you say? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell? The point is well made that the local church, like us here at COV, has a number of different Christians who all contribute their unique gifts and abilities to ensure that our local church, our church family here at COV, functions as an effective, united group of God's people. And the learning point, I think, is verse 18. And I love this verse. This verse has just leaped out of the pages of Scripture to me. And God has put each part, that's person, gifting, and ability, just where he wants it. Isn't that incredible? Do you get the power of that? Do you get the power of that? You think that you're at church on Vogel for some random reason. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are not. You are here because God has put each part just where he wants it. Right? Right. Don't you feel called, blessed, important that God has placed you right here at Church on Vogel? And it's not to take up a seat and take up space. It's here because you're part of a working, local, vibrant church that is taking the gospel to our community in all sorts of different amazing ways. And that's why he's placed each one of us here. To be honest with you, I feel that this is the crux of what unity is all about. That was just the timer. I feel this is the crux of what unity is all about, that there are lots of parts that make up our body of Christ here at Church on Vogel, and we are one body, and we need each other, and we work together on the basis of our love for Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we work together stronger and more united so that no forces will allay us or take us out. I think it's so awesome that each one of us can leave here this morning knowing that we are an absolute key part of God's purposes here at Church on Vogel. And he's put us here for a special reason. And my dear brothers and sisters, if this morning you don't feel you understand what that purpose is, keep seeking the Lord because he's got you here for a reason. And we need you. And if you don't take your place and complete your role, we will be the worse for that. And that is the power of being united together. So the body's got many parts. So does our local church here. One part can't say I'm not part of this church family. Everyone is part of the church family. God has put each part just where he wants it. I so love that. And the body can't work if we're just one part. If we're all one thing, the body can't work. We can't do all the different things we need to. In God's church, you can't say to other parts, I don't need you. Now, I'm guilty. If I haven't said it, I know I've thought it. that the Lord should take some of my brothers and sisters away because they're just flipping annoying. I have thought that, I confess, and I'm sure all of us have had a bad moment like that. Why are you not all nodding in agreement? By hokey, we need to talk about honesty and integrity next. Okay, here is a really key part, so I pray that you'll tune in with me. The barriers to unity at Church on Vogel. Now, this is important because we've got this going on now, okay? The barriers to unity at Church on Vogel. I believe the most important barrier that we need to be wise on is the prowling lion, the evil one. You with me? You get me? Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Can you imagine what the evil one can do with bad attitude, with agendas, with disagreements, with arguments, with divisiveness? You just need to let your mind run. He will tear us apart. Yeah? He will pick our weak spot. Now, I know he picks my weak spot. I'm not going to tell you what it is this morning because I don't want to distract from what God once said here. But he will pick your weak spot. He will work it. He will help you think that you're God's sole gift to unity in Church on Vogel. And I just want to lovingly tell you, none of us in our own right are the sole gift to the Lord in terms of unity at Church on Vogel. We've just said that we need each one of us to be part of this powerful local church. So the evil one, he'll give you a spirit of dissatisfaction. He will work on your dissatisfaction with the elders. He will work on you with being dissatisfied with your fellow Christians. He will just keep working and working and working until you succumb to his nudging and your attitude turns and you become divisive, argumentative, and you wake up and suddenly realise that you're part of the problem. That's the prowling lion, and he is working amongst us all the time. And we have to be strong together. That's the power of unity. That's the power of Philippians, saying we need to work together and we need to recognise we're all a key part of this church family. Yes? Yeah. And the other barrier is us. So if you didn't get that, it's the prowling lion, and the other barrier to unity is us. It's me. And what I've said is take Philippians 2, 1 to 5 and reverse it. Okay? Reverse it. So here's what I mean. Here's how unity can be broken down. If we don't agree wholeheartedly with each other, if we don't love one another genuinely, if we don't work together with one mind and purpose, if we're selfish, if we try to impress others, if we try and be arrogant and pushy, we don't generally need to try, we just are. If we're arrogant and pushy, if we think we're better than everyone else, if we look out for our own interests, the things we want to push, things we want to happen, and if we don't example the qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how it's Philippians 2, 1 to 5 in reverse? Rather than we should be these things, the things that will be a barrier to our unity are written in reverse if we're not them. Okay? Have I given you enough awareness of the barriers to unity? Yeah? So let's head for home. We've got the blueprint for unity, 1 Corinthians 1 and Philippians 2. We've covered agreeing wholeheartedly with one another, working with one mind and purpose. Point 2, the body needs to be in harmony. We need to be working together, supporting each other and encouraging each other. And recognising above all, and this is so beautiful, is that God has put each part just where he wants it. I reckon that's just divine ordinance. That's what unity is all about. And the barriers to stop us from doing this and being an effective family of God, is the prowling lion, the evil one, and us when we try and push our agendas. We try and be arrogant and pushy, and we don't model the qualities of Jesus Christ. So we've come a long way, and thank you for hanging in there with me. I hope you found this helpful. I hope you've been stirred in your soul. I hope you've been challenged. And I'm going to answer the question, how far does unity go? I think it goes all the way until the Lord returns. And what I want you to think about in closing is just take a moment somewhere through Mother's Day today as we bless and think about our mums. Think about the power of the gospel being delivered by a group of God's people who are of one mind and one purpose. There would be nothing that would stop us. And the question I have is, shouldn't we be challenged about whether we're achieving that at the moment or not? Shouldn't we be challenged? Let's think on these things as we allow the Holy Spirit to soak it into our souls. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the model of the local church and the power of the local church. Thank you for the way that you've knitted it together, that you've used all the different parts to serve your purposes. Thank you that you've brought us all here together at Church on Vogel, each person having a key role to help take the gospel to our community and our city. Lord, speak to us through your word, I pray. Work it into our souls, change our hearts, and help us to see the amazing power that we have in the unity of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name.